There we go. Let's start off this morning in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we're so grateful today to be gathered together in your house. We're grateful for the opportunity to be able to continue in reading your word and studying it, Lord, and applying it to our lives. I just pray as we discuss a new topic this morning that once again, Lord, that no one here would take offense to anything that I say, but they would examine themselves and examine your word and apply it to their lives, Lord. Just allow the Holy Spirit to work through me and open up our hearts and minds, guide us in our discussions, Lord, and just allow this time to be a blessing to us and a glorifying to you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, to start, happy Mother's Day to all you mothers out there. This morning, because of Mother's Day, I thought I'd pick an easy topic of gambling. Actually, I guess technically it is kind of fitting, since being a mother is really taking a gamble, isn't it? But this is yet another topic that has quite a bit of controversy behind it, and I've got a feeling we're going to get some good discussion, and I know that there's some people that have not showed up today, and I don't know if that's because of the topic. Now, this is another topic that is not dealt with specifically in the Bible. There is no verse, "Thou shalt not gamble." It just isn't there. So like some of our previous classes, we're going to examine the issue of gambling and what possible sins may be connected with it. So before we can examine gambling, first we have to define it so we can know what we're talking about. So what is gambling? Well, first of all, gambling is not taking risk, okay? When you gamble, there is risk involved, but risk itself does not mean gambling. There's risk in everything in life. Life is a risk. Just getting out of bed in the morning is a risk, but it's not gambling. Gambling is so disassociate risk and gambling for the purposes of class. Like I said, there's risk involved, but just because you're taking a risk on something does not mean you're gambling. So what is gambling? Well, here's a definition. If those of you that take notes here, it's an activity in which a person risks something of value, typically money, to forces of chance completely beyond his control or any rational expectation in hope of winning something of greater value. So an activity in which a person risks something of value to forces of chance completely beyond his control or any rational expectation in the hope of winning something of greater value. Does anybody have any questions on the definition? Okay. Alrighty. So now that we've defined gambling, let's look at some reasons why gambling might be a sin. Okay. And again, this is, as I said, this because the Bible does not specifically forbid gambling, we really have to just look at the issues surrounding gambling, and it's really one of those things that you need to examine on your own before the Lord. So here's some sins that I believe that gambling is built upon. These are sins that cause a person to have a desire to gamble. Some things that encourage gambling, and I think that if you were to remove these sins, then gambling wouldn't exist. So the first one that I think that gambling is built on, the first sin, is materialism. And the whole appeal of gambling is that you can get rich and have material wealth. 1 Timothy 6:10 says, "For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil." And so I think just materialism, our whole society is just, you know, abundant with this idea of materialism, and you need certain things in order to be happy in life. And I think these first few sins that I'm going to cover, they're all kind of interrelated, and materialism really leads into the next sin that gambling is built on, and that's the sin of greed. The desire for more money. So even if you have material things, it's the greed is the desire for more. You're never satisfied. Not only do people start gambling because of greed, but it's also one of the main reasons it's so hard for a person to stop. It's very difficult for a gambler to quit while he's ahead because greed just takes over their rationality. Gambling is also built on the sin of discontentment. Again, this goes hand in hand with the previous two, and it's the idea that you're not satisfied with what you have. It's very hard to be content in today's age when we live in such a materialistic world. Every day we're bombarded with messages that you can't be happy unless you've got this or that, it just breeds discontentment, and oftentimes it breeds our next sinful attitude, which is covetousness. Hebrews 13:5 says, "Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have, for he himself has said, 'I will never leave you nor forsake you.'" So the next one is the gambling is built on the sin of covetousness, the idea that we want what others have. All of these are kind of interrelated, and I think covetousness is a really easy one to identify. You know, if you've ever gone into a casino to go to the buffet or a restaurant or whatever, and you've looked up on the walls, they've got big old posters of "these are our winners this month," you know, jackpot winners. And there's a reason why they do that. It's easy for them to stir up feelings of covetousness within you, feelings of jealousy and discontent and greed. Luke 12:15 says, "And he said to them, 'Take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses.'" So again, these are some sins that are connected with gambling: materialism, greed, discontentment, covetousness. The next one is exploitation. And this is one that is kind of controversial. Some people may agree with this one or not. But just follow my line of thought here, and we'll see if I make any sense here. If you win money at the casino, the only way you can win is if someone else loses, correct? I mean, the money has to come from somewhere. That's part of gambling, is money is exchanging hands. And so whether it's another gambler or whether it's the casino itself, someone has to lose the money in order for you to win it. Statistics show that lower-class people, and I'm referring to economic status, are more likely to gamble than upper-class individuals. In other words, the less money you have and the less money you make, the more likely you are to gamble. And that's because of those first sins that we talked about: greed, covetousness, discontentment. They're more prominent when you have less. And so by gambling, when you gamble, you're exploiting someone else. And more times than not, that individual is probably worse off than you. Now, you might say, well, playing against the house isn't exploiting anyone, you know, just playing blackjack or the slots or whatever. You know, if I beat the house, the casino is the one that loses. Well, that is true, but in order for the casino to pay you, they had to have gotten the money from somewhere. So that means that multiple other people had to have lost the money there in order for the casino to have for you to win it. So, again, I think this sin of exploiting others and it's the idea of gaining out of the inevitable loss and suffering of others. And I think that's the antithesis of loving your neighbor as yourself, as Jesus taught us. Sixthly, gambling is built on the sin of laziness, the idea of getting rich quick by winning a jackpot or winning the lottery. This idea goes against the principle of hard work that God so often praises throughout the Bible. There are many verses that condemn the slothful man, the lazy man, and the Bible just all throughout praises a diligent worker. The idea that you can amass wealth through gambling without having to work for it goes against what God teaches us in His Word. Proverbs 2:11 says, "He who works his land will have abundant food, but he who chases fantasies lacks judgment." I don't think there's a greater example of chasing a fantasy than to keep playing the lottery with the hopes that you're going to win the big one, and then you'll never have to work again. So, and those of you who are here for the Truth Project, we watched Dr. Tackett talk about work and how it is not only required of us, but it's actually a gift. It's a gift for us to be able to work in the creation that God has placed us in. 1 Timothy 5:8 says that if a man does not work and provide for his household, he is denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Colossians 3:17 teaches us that when we work, we should work as if we were working directly for the Lord Himself. There's great honor and blessing in hard work, and gambling is the antithesis of work. Gambling is built on the sin of distrusting God. The idea that you need to go out and gamble to get money because you don't trust that God will provide it through other means. I truly believe that God knows my needs and He's always going to provide for my needs. And I trust that He's going to supply it, provide it for me through work, through saving, through wise investments, and through reasonable risks. And that's a part of life. But I'm not going to go and gamble hoping to win a jackpot in order to avoid work. Gambling is built on the sin of irresponsible stewardship. If you've got money to spare that you're willing to go and gamble it away, why wouldn't you rather save that money for a rainy day? You know, as a financial planner, I recognize the importance of having an emergency fund for saving up for the future when you reach an age when you're no longer physically capable of working. Maybe you have your savings in good shape. Maybe you have an emergency fund. How about using that money for God's glory? Give it to the church. Give it to missionaries. Give it to fellow Christians that you see that are struggling. If God has blessed you with excess money, He's testing you to see if you are going to use it wisely for His glory or for your own selfish desires. Now, don't get me wrong. I do believe that God wants us to enjoy life. There are some things in this life that you can have and can enjoy, and God's given us all things richly to enjoy, but all of it should bring honor and glory to God, and throwing it away in an appeal to sheer chance brings no glory to God. And gambling also denies God's sovereignty by affirming the existence of luck. Psalm 103:19 says, "The Lord has established His throne in heaven, and His kingdom, or sovereignty, rules over all." God is in charge of everything. God created everything right down to the molecule and atom, and He's in charge of it all. You know, He holds the entire universe together. Everything works out according to His plan. And to suggest that what you have is because of luck and not God's provision is very dangerous. There's an interesting passage in Isaiah 65, verses 11 and 12, and it says, "But you are those who forsake the Lord, who forget my holy mountain, who prepare a table for Gad, and who furnish a drink offering for many." And it's M-E-N-I, not many, many. "Therefore, I will number you for the sword, and you shall all bow down to the slaughter." And what it's talking about here is worshiping false gods. The passage in general is talking about worshiping false gods in general, but I think it's interesting that he names two in particular here. The Hebrew word for Gad meant luck or good luck, and the Hebrew word for many meant destiny or what they referred to as bad luck. And so when he mentions here setting a table before Gad and furnishing a drink offering to many, he's talking about worshiping the gods of good and bad luck. And what does it say he'll do? It says, "I will number you for the sword, and you shall bow down to the slaughter." So I think that this passage in particular shows us how much God despises the idea of the existence of luck. So when you gamble, you're affirming that there is such a thing as random chance and luck. And that's like spitting in God's face and telling Him you don't really believe that He's the master of the universe. So those are some sins that I think are connected with gambling. Now, just because you gamble does not necessarily mean that you're committing all these sins. But I think that they are their existing in within gambling. Does anybody have any questions or comments on what I've covered so far? Yes. Is it possible to gamble without coveting? And I think it is possible. And I've heard people say that they like to just go, and gambling is more of an entertainment thing than it is of a desire to win the money. They'll, instead of going and spending $20 at the movies, they'll take $20 and go play, you know, blackjack or poker at the casino, and they figure that that's just their entertainment money. They set their limit; they're willing to lose it. If they win some money, all the better. But if not, you know, it was just entertainment for them. And to a certain extent, that may be possible. I have a hard time with it because if you want to do that kind of thing, why can't you just get together with a couple of guys and play poker? I think that any time that you start involving money in that game, our human tendency starts to slide towards that greed issue, and it's just a very slippery slope to me. And also, as we've talked about in previous lessons, you know, the environment that you're in, you're not setting a good example, because those that are around you may not know that you go in there just for entertainment and are just putting in $20. There's no way for them to know that you're not addicted to gambling. So it's a very dangerous thing to toy with. And I think that even if you can avoid the coveting part of it, there's still the sin of believing that there's luck involved and chance, because that's exactly what those games are, is it's all based in chance and luck. And you're affirming that that exists. And I just think that's a dangerous thing. Anybody disagree? Agree? Yes, Craig?
I do. You just mentioned something here this morning that I got to tell you I hadn't really thought about before until you just brought it up. And that is, if I were to go in and gamble and win, I wonder how many lives were crushed. Now, obviously, it was their choice to gamble. It was their poor stewardship and putting their entire paycheck or whatever into a game like that. But at the same time now, my winning has hurt people. And I never put that together until this morning. I always thought about, you know, my view has always been, how can I think that I'm going to walk into a multi-billion dollar casino and think I'm coming out the winner? You know? So, but we brought out a very good point there.
Mm-hmm. I think the biggest thing is impact of spirit. Like, you're going into a place that inhibits all kinds of other sins. And it's hard to have your mind on Christ when you're sitting in the casino. It's just, you know, it's just not the right atmosphere for a Christian to be in.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I used to work there, and I can tell you that I seriously doubt there's a person sitting there, Christian, saying, "Oh, I'm not being covetous. I'm not, you know, I'm doing this. You know, I'm a good. You know, I mean, it just doesn't happen. I mean, people.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a natural human.
And you know, are there exceptions to the rule? Maybe. You know, I have a hard time, again, condemning somebody who has a weekly poker game in his house with just three or four of his buddies, and they know they get together once a week, and they each put in $5 into the kitty or whatever. It is. And again, it's...
What's the difference? The atmosphere would be different, but you're still coveting, you're still... you are exploiting the other person that's... if they're losing, you exploited them.
I agree. Like I said, these are some, you know, areas where some Christians see it as gray area. Yes. It's a bingo, you know.
That's why I brought that up. It's a vast area where we put our money into things where there's not I was just going to say a good chance of return, but ultimately I think we put that in not doubting God's sovereignty. We put that money in knowing full well that most of it's out of our hands. We we play based on our little bit of knowledge that we have of football or whatnot, but ultimately, I think we all go into it knowing that we're going to lose $20 because it's a form of entertainment.
I'm going to talk about that. There's a whole other phase to this in just a second here. Well, now you're starting to get into an issue of, are we allowed to spend our money on any kind of entertainment? And I think that's kind of dangerous. I think that God does want us to enjoy life. Now, obviously, we are to be responsible stewards over our money. But if we have some excess money and the opportunity and you feel that God is giving you an opportunity to enjoy life, I don't think there's anything wrong with playing an arcade game or going to the movies or whatnot, but that's different than gambling with the hopes of trying to win more. You know, that's a completely side issue. Hang on 1 second. Yeah.
Actually, I think there is a difference between when you look at somebody. Like I said, I had an issue with that, and then somebody that says, "Hey, it's fun. I go in there. You know, I put $20 in the slot machine. It's my entertainment. It's just fun." Okay. It's the atmosphere and the place that you're in, and there's a difference between, like you said, getting together and throwing in. Well, you all know well that it's $5 playing poker or doing the thing, and a commercial venture that a casino is. And so, in that sense, it's on such a massive scale, and then you look at the atmosphere that you're in, you have to trust. And like you said, you got to read the scripture. How do you feel in your heart? And if you feel guilty about being in there, at least a little bit, that somebody's trying to tell you something, and you gotta trust your knowledge and what you're doing is wrong.
Mm-hmm. You wanted to say something or ask a question?
Yeah, like in an arcade, are you still trying to? You're putting your money towards something that you think you'll get something better for?
No, that's not gambling. That's a different
DDR. Are you talking about where you're winning tickets and everything like that?
Yeah, like you're putting your money in to get something better than what you put in.
Carnival.
Yeah.
That was
carnival.
You win tickets, so you can lose those carnivals. It might not be cash that you're getting back, but you plan to win something with the whole thing is stacked against you. It's designed for you to lose. But what's the difference there? You're not getting cash back, but it's an entertainment value. But you're playing to win a stuffed animal or a whole bunch of tickets so that you can go cash tickets in for a stuffed animal.
And again, like I said, I knew going into this one that there was going to be a lot of gray areas and that's why I said, you know, you really need to examine the issue for yourself and if you feel that it's okay between you and God to be doing those kinds of things, then, you know, you'll answer to the Lord before, you know, in that. Yes?
I find it kind of hilarious. So, like, I don't know how it happened or, like, how. I didn't even see it coming, but, like, I ended up losing $10 to, like, a carnival game. And I don't even know how. It's just, like, it happened so fast. I didn't even know what's going on. Before I knew it, it was like $10 gone.
It's a business. They know how to get more money, like, more and more money out of you.
About 1,000 people in the casino with that same story.
Yep. Yes.
And you have to look at too that from an entertainment standpoint is yes, you're putting the money in, but you are getting something of value back out. You're getting the enjoyment of what you're doing. That's a lot different than somebody going in and blowing his house payment, like you say, trying to look at, I got this $500, if I can double it, then I can have this. It's your attitude about what you're viewing. Again, once you have that attitude, you bring in all the other sins you talked about, not trusting God, wasting your money, covetousness, and everything else. Mm-hmm. If you don't have any of those issues or what you're doing, and you feel of what you spent, that you got a value back, don't see a problem with that. But again, in a casino, it is what else are you sporting? Remember, again, we brought up what Paul talks about. Everything is permissible to me, but it's not all profitable. If you're in a casino, again, going, this is my fun, and yet somebody sees you, is that going to affect your witness to somebody else? And, you know, when you're trying to tell them that, hey, you shouldn't be drinking, smoking, gambling, doing all this thing. Oh, really? Well, I saw you in there.
And again, you're supporting a business that is in the business of exploiting people
in
that way.
So many of the restaurants that we go to are in casinos.
I've got to keep the conversation moving here. So, yeah.
We are called to be Christ-like. It's kind of hard to imagine Christ upon the order.
Yeah. Well, I'm trying to rush this so I can get to that portion, because obviously in my business that was an issue for me when I started studying this, and I want to cover what I found. But yeah.
Are you doing a class on movies and stuff?
Yes,
like that?
That's actually the next one.
Okay. Because I was going to say, we've touched on a lot of things here, where like with the exploitation of people and about entertainment and stuff like that. That if you want to really evaluate what's behind Hollywood as well.
Absolutely.
What are we putting our money into with that? If you're going to touch that, I won't.
Yeah, yeah, that's our next class. Several of you have brought it up, so let me go ahead and dive into that. The question of is investing in the stock market considered gambling? Okay? And I know where some of you stand on this, because I've had this conversation with some of you already.
A lot of money.
So, okay, let me tell you where I stand on this issue and defend myself, and then I'll open it up to discussion. I believe that investing in the stock market is not gambling, and let me tell you why, okay? Investing in the stock market is not gambling because, first of all, in order for you to increase your money, no one else has to lose theirs. Remember, we said in a casino, when you win money, it's because somebody else lost. There's money exchanging hands. If you gain money in the stock market, if you invested wisely and invested your money in a company that grows, your growth is from economic growth, and it's not false growth or money exchanging hands. In the stock market, if the stock goes up, everyone who owns that stock is going to get more money. There is no loser of money when the stock market does that, because the growth is from growth in business. It comes from natural growth within the economy. Secondly, just because it's risky does not mean it's gambling. Okay? Remember at the beginning we said risk is not gambling. Gambling is wagering money on a game of chance in which you have no control or reasonable expectation. Farmers take risk all the time. They'll use the profits from their crops to invest in better equipment, more land, more seed, with the hope that next year they'll be able to get a decent crop and gain a profit again. But there's risk involved. There could be a horrible drought, and they could lose everything. But that's not gambling. It's not gambling because he's simply investing his money back into his business in the hope of making a profit the next year. And when you invest in the stock market, you're investing in a business. You're basically purchasing a small portion of a company with the idea that they will use your investment to make necessary improvements to the company and to turn a bigger profit, which is then returned to you in increased value in stock and even dividends. If you think investing in the stock market is gambling, then you might as well take all of the money that you have out of the bank, out of cash in your CDs, pull out savings accounts, because that's exactly what they're doing. They're using the deposits that you put in, and they're investing it with the idea of being able to give you a return. So it's the same kind of idea. So investing in the stock market is not gambling because money is not simply changing hands. You're aiding in the growth of the overall economy. And finally, investing in the stock market is not gambling because it is not left to random chance. When you invest in the stock market, if you're doing it correctly, you're researching the company, you're researching the market trends, you have an understanding of economics and how certain industries affect one another, and you're able to invest with a reasonable expectation. Okay, it's not left to just random chance. Now, I'll admit, there are people who gamble in the stock market. It is possible to gamble in the stock market. And the way you do that is by blindly buying stocks without knowing a single thing about the company about what you're doing, and with just the hope that the random stock that you picked is going to grow, okay? And that would be considered gambling. But if it's done right, you're doing your research. You're not just blindly throwing money in. You're doing the research. You now have a reasonable expectation on your investment, and you're not just appealing to chance or luck. Go. John. Activity in which a person risks something of value to forces of chance completely beyond his control or any rational expectation in hope of winning something of greater value. And no. This is a good point because this is one of my rationales. When I was in the military, I used to play poker. I loved playing poker. My oldest brother loves to play poker. It's the same thing. It's a very skilled game, and you can have a very, very good understanding. But the fact of the matter is when you sit down, to me, you have to put up money up front before you see a single card. And so there's no skill involved when you make your first initial investment. But you can research that company and know whether or not that's a viable company that you would be buying a purchase in.
Still, generally speaking, it's out of your control. That company could do horrible and you could lose.
It could, but that's the risk side of it, but not the luck or chance part of it. Okay? You want to say something? Because you're itching to say something here.
There is a difference because when people come to me and they say, "Hey, I want to open up a stock account and I want to trade," and then they use the term investing, and I'll say, "Well, you're not investing if you're trading, because that's gambling. Because what you're trying to do is guess through various things what direction it is, and you're buying and selling, and there is chance involved in that, you know, and so." That's what you're counting on. Is did I guess right? Investing, where I'm putting my money, I'm looking at the company, the stocks, the dividends that are paying, and I'm buying them all the time because I'm looking at the growth of that company. And so there is a difference. When people say I'm investing in stocks, but I'm going to go and get my Scott Trade account and trade them, I go, well, that's not investing.
But there's still a chance of investing.
There's risk. There's not a chance. There's no chance.
Ultimately, there's no chance in life. We know that everything is sovereign, you know, under God's sovereignty. So there's no chance in life.
But again, I think the difference in the investing and gambling is the reasonable expectation. By knowing what you're putting your money into, you have a reasonable expectation of what that company could do. Whereas when you sit down to play a game of poker, yes, there's 52 cards in the deck, but you have no idea which one's going to come out on your hand. Now, once the hand is started, then yes, I think skill takes over, and you know, most poker players are playing their opponents and not the cards. But again, you have to put money up before you even see the first card.
Just make sure you don't play the bigger, the smaller, large blind, and then you're okay.
Get out!
You brought up a very good point that looking at that, then you might as well not put your money in anything. And investing is biblical because even Jesus taught about the ruler when he gave the money and said you should at least put it in bank and got the interest. Well, what is that bank doing with that money? It's investing in commerce. It just happens today we've developed a system where you can actually participate in that corporation or business. Years ago, you were just the sole owner. That was it. So basically,
thank you for stealing my closing illustrations. Yes. Yes.
Isn't there a story in the New Testament?
project without doing church thing, whether he has the money to finish it or not?
Yeah, that was the cost. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And there's actually, there was the Old Testament law for if you lent money to somebody from the nation of Israel, a brother, you weren't to charge them interest, but you could charge foreigners interest, saying you're kind of investing in them, and as you get your money back, you can charge them interest. So there's a lot of biblical examples.
Right.
I think you also have to be careful, too, going back to what Dave was saying about investing in Hollywood. Well, you can invest in a gaming company, into a casino without being sitting in the casino, using the slots. What's the difference between putting your money in the stock market and their stocks?
Well, obviously, that's where you have to use your good judgment in what you're investing in.
I'm just saying.
Yes.
It also depends on what you're investing in.
Sure.
You can't just invest in anything.
Sure.
God's going to bless you.
Well, yeah. Research is hard work. Where chance is
not. There's the whole laziness.
That's why you go to me.
Ron. I did have the illustration ready. I was going to close with this. If you want to turn to Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 through 30. We'll see several things in this passage that we've already looked at this morning. Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 through 30. Dad, would you read that for me?
Then he would receive the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not.
Oh, 14 through 30.
What did I say? 25.
Chapter 25, verse 14 through 30.
For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one of them he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his own ability, and immediately he went on a journey. Then who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. And likewise, he who had received 2 gained 2 more also. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 talents more besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you rule over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. He also had received 2 talents, came and said, Lord, you delivered me 2 talents. Look, I have gained 2 more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you rule over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Then he who had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid, and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. But his Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown, and gather where I have not scattered seed. You ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received back my own with interest. So take the talent from him, and give it to the one who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance, but from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth.
Thank you. So first and foremost, in this illustration, we see the idea of good stewardship, that we are to use what God has given us wisely and for His glory. The first two invested their money wisely and returned the master's money along with a profit. The third buried the money in the ground and returned to the master only what he was given. And what was the master's response? You wicked and lazy servant. And there's that issue of laziness again. He cursed him because he was too lazy to work with the money and turn a profit. The servant says, look, master, here's your money. I didn't lose it. But the master says, that's not good enough. You should have worked with it and used it for gain. God is not content with us just keeping what we have. He wants us to use it for His glory and honor. And so what did the master do? He cast him out into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. If that's what happens to the servant who keeps just what he has and doesn't multiply it, I'd hate to see what happens to the person who wastes what he has. When God gives you stewardship of a resource in life, he expects you to use it for his glory. We also saw the idea of hard work and how laziness was condemned. And we also saw that investing in economics and business is an honorable thing. I think that that passage is a good example of how using money wisely, they went and traded and were able to turn a profit with that. So that was my closing illustration to kind of cover that. Anything else? We've got about 5 minutes left. Yes?
I just want to say, for me, we just need to examine ourselves and what we do when we go
to that. Absolutely. Anyone else? Really? Yes? No? Okay. Well, let's close in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we're grateful, Lord, to be able to examine this topic of gambling and how we should be utilizing the resources which you've so richly blessed us with. Lord, we just pray that you would convict within us and teach us through your word, allow these things that we've talked about this morning to really sink into our hearts and minds and be with us always, Lord, so that we can always act according to your will, Lord, and that that everything that we would do with everything that you've given us would be glorifying to you. I just pray now that as we close this morning and go into our regular morning service, that you would direct our time this morning and let it be glorifying to you. Be with John as he delivers your message, and may our singing of praise to your name be glorifying to you. And just we just pray that everything that we would do would honor you this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I will not be teaching next week. Dad and I and Mom will be in Mexico building houses with Rotary. But I'll be back the following Sunday, and we are going to talk about movies, movie entertainment, yes. So.